aren't you tuned to yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, bringing you an hour of science fiction, later on from Suspense from 1962. First, an episode of X-1 with the story The Defenders, an NBC episode from May 22, 1956.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, The Defenders, based on a story by Philip Dick.
And now we bring you a special film of the destruction of San Francisco by radioactive pellets, released this week by robots of the Asian Confederation. This bombing was televised by robot cameramen of the Western Confederation as it took place. What you are about to see is a rebroadcast. Here you see the heroic robots, the Leadys, who defended San Francisco against the dastardly attack. Of course, since all human life has been under the surface of Earth for 16 years, there was no actual loss of life in the sense we know it. Still, the vicious destruction of Western Leadys by this sneak attack by Asian robots.
The surface war. The surface war, that's all we hear. It's all everybody works for. 90 cents out of every dollar goes for the surface war. Every man, woman, and child is either inventing new weapons or manufacturing robots to fight for us or taking care of the people who are doing the inventing or manufacturing.
Mary, take it easy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad.
Maybe you've been working too hard at the university.
Maybe.
How's the study coming?
All right.
Colonel Moss was asking about it only today over at Supreme Headquarters.
I'm still working.
Mary, you haven't mentioned the enemy much.
Oh, what's there to say?
Well, is he as hateful as ever?
He hasn't been feeling well.
Pity. I hope he doesn't die. After all, he's the only living captive member of the Asian Confederation. How old is he, by the way?
34.
Oh, you're joking, of course.
No.
Mary, Western society only moved under the surface of the Earth some 16 years ago. Now, that would mean that the enemy was captured when he was only a boy.
Yes.
He told you this?
Oh, no. He tells everyone he's 42. I deduced it from inconsistencies in his statements.
Well, that's a little dangerous, isn't it?
Well, you're the only one I've told, Dad.
I wish you wouldn't even tell me these things.
Do you expect your friend Colonel Moss to pop out from under the bed?
Now you're being facetious. It's no laughing matter, Mary. The whole concept of the enemy is so charged emotionally...
And so full of lies.
Mary!
It's true. I've been talking to him for 6 months now. He's just an ordinary young man who happens to have had the bad luck to come to symbolize every hated thing we fight against.
I've heard him speak. He is hateful.
He knows what to say if he wants to keep alive.
Mary, I won't hear any more of this.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I suppose it doesn't serve any useful purpose.
It isn't that. I'm thinking of your own safety. If remarks like this were overheard... Do you know what they do to traitors?
I've heard they turn them over to the Leadys.
They're taken up to the surface. As they approach it, the radioactivity begins to destroy them. And by the time they reach the top...
I'll be careful.
Good. Now then, why don't we stop this morbid talk? How about turning on some music, hmm?
All right. Dad?
Yes?
What was it like?
What?
On the surface.
Don't you remember?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, of course not. You were only about six at the time. Well, it's best not to talk about it too much.
Oh, tell me, Dad, please.
Well, it was quite different from living underground. We lived in a valley, your mother, you and I. There were pretty farms along the floor of the valley, little white houses and green fields and trees.
Oh, and there were birds.
Yes. I'm afraid the birds are extinct now.
It must have been hard for you those first years underground.
It wasn't pleasant. But I had my work at the War Institute. There was so much to be done then, building the levees to take over the surface war, designing the pneumatic tubes to get supplies and weapons up to the robots, organizing the robot councils on the surface, and, of course, the constant fight against radiation leakage. We're still working on that one.
I wonder what my life would have been like if it hadn't happened. About all I know is metal walls and great roaring factories and barracks.
Nobody wants to live this way, my dear. We have to. Someday, when the enemy's defeated...
What makes you think he'll be defeated? The Asians are just as secure underground as we are.
When our leadys conquer theirs...
Dad.
What is it?
Dad, the enemy, the one I've been interviewing.
I thought we weren't discussing him.
He mentioned a word to me.
A word?
Yes. It seems to me that I heard it before when I was a little girl.
It's best to forget these things.
No, I don't know what it means, but it might even be a bad word, but I have to ask you.
I'd rather not.
Please?
Well?
The word was peace. Oh, Dad, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shock you. I think I'll go up to my room. I have to get up early. I'm taping an interview with the enemy. Excuse me.
Get me the Director of Internal Security.
Yes?
This is Donald Taylor.
Yes, Donald.
It's about my daughter.
Mary?
Yes. She's been working with the enemy, as you know, compiling a new study.
Yes?
I'm afraid from some of the things he's told her that he may not be completely... well, completely sane.
Oh?
I thought perhaps you might... well... supervise their relationship a little more. After all, she's been spending almost 6 months in his company, several hours a day.
I see what you mean.
Now, I don't mean to suggest that anything has happened already. Her attitude's...
Don't concern yourself about it. Everything will be handled discreetly.
The enemy is waiting inside, Miss Taylor.
Good. Is the recording and filming equipment ready to go?
All checked and ready.
You've checked the restraint suit on the prisoner?
Yes, miss.
You may leave us alone.
Just buzz when you want me, Miss Taylor.
I will. Thank you, guard. Hello, hateful one.
Hello, beloved.
How are you?
Feeling no pain?
I thought about you last night. I talked to Father.
Be careful.
Oh, it's all right.
Oh, this can't go on, Mary. Sooner or later, someone will suspect.
I don't care. I love you.
Mary. You'd better get something on tape if anyone comes in.
All right. Tape number 425X. Subject, recorded interview with captive ZN2. Former soldier of the Asian Confederation and enemy of the Western Confederation.
I'm Joseph Kali, serial number ZN2, former soldier of the Asian Confederation.
What were you taught to believe concerning the people of the Western Confederation?
I hate them with all my heart. They are inhuman and to be destroyed.
What is your objective?
It is the objective of my people to enslave all members of the Western Confederation and to utilize them for the benefit of the masters of the Asian Confederation.
Did you ever witness any murder of members of the Western Confederation?
I was a pilot in a group which dropped radioactive dust on women and children who were preparing to be evacuated underground. I myself killed some 15,000.
We will discontinue the interview to check the quality of the recordings. And to kiss the lips of the captive from the Asian Confederation. Oh, Joseph, I can't tell you how it pains me to hear you mouthing this stuff.
Keeps me alive.
If there were only some way to escape, some place to go.
The surface is the only place to go. And the radioactivity kills you in 40 minutes with the thickest lead suit.
Sometimes I think even 40 minutes of freedom would be worth it.
40 minutes of pain?
If that's the price, then
for myself, I wouldn't care. But for you, Mary.
If there were a way to reach the surface.
There is.
Colonel Moss.
This has been, I must say, a most interesting interview to hear.
You heard it?
From the beginning. We had the room wired this morning.
Then you know.
Yes.
What's going to happen to us?
To you, nothing. Because of my friendship for your father and your own youth, we will simply require that you remain silent about anything that has happened.
And Joseph?
The enemy will be handed over to a D-class leady at the mouth of the tube and taken to the surface. We will perform the entire operation with a ceremony and a public announcement.
He'll die.
Precisely.
No. Please.
Now you'd better go. Your father is waiting outside.
Joseph.
Mary, do as he says.
Joseph, I love you.
Take her out.
Please let me say. Let me say goodbye to him.
Remove her.
Joseph, please. Please let me say. Please. Father?
Yes?
Did you talk to Colonel Moss?
Yes.
And?
He'll permit you to come along and watch the ceremony. Provided? There's no display of any sort. And, of course, a public denouncement of the whole matter. He's prepared a statement to the effect that the enemy tried to dupe you. That he used hypnosis, etc., etc. Well?
I'll sign it.
The ceremony is at the foot of the tube tomorrow morning at 6. At that hour, the enemy will be handed over to a D-class leady, which is being brought down from the surface. Remember your promise.
Hey, sail! Oh! The prisoner is ready to be turned over, sir.
Is the robot here?
The robot is arriving now.
I'll give the orders. I wish to converse with it.
Yes, sir. The robot has landed at the foot of the tube, sir.
Switch on the intercom. Robot.
Robot N71.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We have a prisoner to turn over. He is to be taken to the surface and destroyed.
Yes, sir.
Before we send him into the radiation lock, there are a few questions the military would like to have answered.
Yes, sir.
How is the war going on the surface?
The war continues. We are a little short of fast pursuit craft, the single-seat type.
It will be noted.
Our missiles pounded the Euro munitions plant of the Asian robot team last night with good results.
Excellent. Are you ready to receive the prisoner?
I am ready.
I must warn all observers to remain behind the lead wall when the radiation lock opens. A few seconds' exposure to a hot leady is enough to cause serious damage. Prisoner, step forward.
Father.
Steady, Mary. Remember your promise.
Yes. Is he?
He's there.
Oh, if I could only see him alone a minute.
It's out of the question. Keep well behind the lead wall.
Ready?
Ready, Colonel.
Open the lock. Step into the lock, prisoner.
He's in with the leady. You can almost feel the radiation. By now, he's as good as dead.
Lower the door.
No! Wait! Joseph! Joseph!
Mary, come back!
Hold the door!
Mary!
Robert! Remove the woman and take the prisoner to the surface. Hurry!
She'll be burned to death.
Don't go out there. The lady is pushing her out. Close the lock!
Mary!
Sergeant! Get a technician in a radiation suit to pick her up. Have her shielded and brought to the decontaminating chamber.
Yes, sir.
My daughter.
You'd better get into a lead suit, Donald. We'll see what we can do to save her.
How is she? Bad?
I don't understand it.
What's wrong?
She's cold. Not a trace of radiation.
You mean the leady wasn't radioactive?
It's impossible. Those robots are exposed to enough radiation in an hour to kill a regiment.
Well, could the counter be defective?
I checked it. No, it must be some freak. Somehow she avoided exposure to the rays. Well, you're a very lucky man, Professor.
Can I see her?
Yes. Go in.
Thank you. Mary.
Hello, Dad.
Did they tell you you're going to be all right?
Yes.
Well, you don't seem overjoyed.
Should I be?
You really care for this murderer of women and children?
Dad, for the last time, Joseph never murdered any women and children. He confessed to those crimes to keep alive.
Well, we won't discuss it. You're safe. That's all that matters.
Is he... Was he taken up?
Yes. By now, he's gone.
I don't believe it.
Mary.
I don't believe it. Somehow, deep inside me, I know he's alive. Somehow, I knew that Letty wasn't radioactive.
That Letty. Yes, that's puzzling. We'll have to investigate that. I'm going to send an order to the surface asking that the same Letty be sent down again. There's something very strange about the whole business.
The tube is arriving with the Letty as you requested, Professor.
Good. I'm going in to examine it.
Isn't that dangerous even with the suit on, sir?
It won't take me long.
Very well. He's reached bottom.
Open the lock.
Father.
Hold it. Mary, what are you doing here in a radiation suit?
This is the same Letty, isn't it?
Yes. I was just going in to examine it.
I want to go with you.
Why?
This is the Letty that took Joseph up. I want to speak to it and find out.
Now, Mary, why torture yourself?
It's more torture this way. I have to know. If he's alive or dead, I have to know.
He's dead.
The Letty will know. Please, Father, please.
Very well. Close your helmet. Open the lock, guard.
Ready, Mary?
Ready.
Let's go in. You're Albert N-71?
I am.
The same who escorted the prisoner to the surface this morning?
Yes.
Is he...
He is dead. The radiation killed him before he reached the surface.
Steady, Mary. Robert?
Sir?
You accompanied him to the surface?
Yes.
You've been exposed?
I've fought in 3 battles.
Then explain something.
Sir?
According to a counter I have concealed in my suit, you're cold. Not a trace of radioactivation. How do you explain this? Well? Answer me. That's an order.
I must return to the surface.
Not till you answer me.
I must return to continue fighting the war. Do not attempt to stop me.
I again...
Daddy has a ray gun.
Look out! Keep back. I've shot at him with the metal counter. He'll be burned out in a second. That was close.
I thought these robots were unable to harm their masters.
He might have been bluffing, but I couldn't take a chance.
Why do you suppose he did it?
I don't know. But I'm beginning to suspect something so fantastic that I've got to find out about it.
Find out?
Leave the tube, Mary.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to the surface.
What?
My suit will protect me for about 5 minutes up there.
No humans have been up to the surface for years. It's illegal.
I know all about that. Now, will you leave the tube?
No.
I'm going with you.
Mary, please.
If you go, I go with you.
All right. Hang on. I'm going to start the elevator. Here we go.
Council.
What's this all about? Where's the war? The ruins? What's happened here?
Can't you guess?
The war.
There is no war. There hasn't been any war for 15 years.
No war? But the guns, the munitions, the...
We've been destroying them as fast as you sent them to the surface.
And the Asians?
Their robots have been destroying their arms also.
Why? How did this happen? What about those films of the destruction of San Francisco? What about those televised reports, the bombings, the slaughter?
Models.
Models?
We have a full-time division of A-class robots who do nothing but photograph the progress of the fictitious war using scale models. The entire destruction of San Francisco, which you witnessed on your televisors, took place on a tabletop.
Well, how did this come about?
Quite logically. You created us to pursue the war for you, while you human beings went below ground to survive. But before we could continue the war, it was necessary to analyze it, to determine its purpose. We did this.
And?
We found it had no purpose. War, to the logical mind, is absurd, but it fulfills a need in human terms. The need to direct your hatred of yourselves away from you and onto others. Eventually, man will grow up enough so that he can face his own dislike of himself with humility. The time has almost come, as a matter of fact. Until it does come, we decided to preserve the illusion of war. Meanwhile, we rebuilt the cities, replanted the farms, and kept everything in readiness. We are the caretaker.
And what will happen to my daughter and myself?
You will remain on the surface with the others.
Others?
There is a small group of members of the Asian Confederation which came to the surface only a few months ago. They are farming a valley not far from here. By the way, you may remove your radiation suits. There is no radiation.
You said the others. Does that mean that the prisoner, the one who...
He is alive and well.
Father, he's alive. Where is he?
In a farmhouse not far from here. He has rejoined some of his people.
Would you take me to him? Can I see him?
Of course, if you will just follow me.
Wait. There's another car rising in the tube.
Stand aside.
Just remain where you are. Sergeant, take this lady into custody.
Yes, sir.
Well, Professor, this is quite a sight.
How did you happen to come here?
The guard told us you had surfaced. We found the shorted robot where you left it and discovered it was cold. So we decided we'd better investigate. Good Lord, what a shock this is.
A blessing, Colonel. Not a shock.
Do the Asians know about this?
A few of them have surfaced, but the underground civilization is still ignorant of it. They think the war is going on just as our people do.
Don't say. You know what this means, don't you?
It means the end of the war. It means peace.
It means victory, Professor. It means we can mount a full-scale attack. We can drop hydrogen fission bombs right down their tubes. We can wipe out the whole race.
But there's no need. There's no war.
There will be. I'm returning underground to report this to Supreme Headquarters. You'll have to accompany me for security purposes.
You cannot do that, Colonel.
Since when does a robot give orders to a human?
We were constructed to protect you. In this case, we will protect you from yourself.
Stand aside. We're going to the tube.
I will be happy to stand aside. But you will not be able to descend.
No? Well, we'll just see.
Look out!
Father, what is it? What happened?
Look.
Good Lord. They've destroyed the tube. We're sealed off.
Exactly. We have always had heat bombs in readiness for just such an emergency. Lead and rock are fused for a depth of some 10 miles. It will be years before your people can reconstruct the tube.
I don't believe it.
It makes no difference to us whether you believe it or not.
Men, destroy this robot.
There are many more.
Destroy him. Now.
Look, down the road. Humans. A bunch of humans coming toward us.
Why, they're waving.
Those are Asians.
Joseph! Joseph! Father Joseph's with them.
Ready arms, men. As soon as they're close enough, I'll give the signal to fire.
Colonel, in heaven's name, they aren't even armed.
They're the enemy.
Our only hope for survival is to join with them. We'll need food and shelter. If we destroy them...
The professor is right, Colonel. We're cut off from our own people.
Sergeant, another word, and I'll have you court-martialed. Now, ready your weapons.
Men, don't do it. Our only hope now is peace.
Silence!
I've got to warn them. Go back! Go back!
All right, Professor, you asked for it. Now!
Father! Father, is he?
Colonel Moss is dead.
Thank you, Sergeant. You've saved not only my life, but many others.
I couldn't see any other way, Professor. We gotta live, too.
Father?
Yes, Mary?
Does this mean that we can have peace?
If we want it, Mary. If we really want it, we can have it.
X-1 on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from the 22nd of May 1956, an adaptation of Philip K. Dick's story The Defenders, which was first seen in print in Galaxy Science Fiction magazine in January of 1953. And as revered as the science fiction author was, he only had one other story adapted on X-1, his tale Colony, in October of 1956. This is an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levoner. Now time for an episode of suspense with the story Black Death, which was first aired in August of 1955. This encore performance from the series features a new cast and was heard on CBS on July 1st, 1962.
And now, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. In a moment, Act One of Black Death, written especially for suspense by Mercer MacLeod. And starring Christopher Carey, currently featured in Camelot.
I can hardly see a thing, Charles. The rain, is it getting worse?
Well, it's not getting any better. I can't understand why the lights should be so dim.
Oh, dear.
What?
That might be my fault.
Why do you say that?
When I took the car for petrol last Thursday, remember? You said be sure and have the battery checked.
Oh, say no more.
Yes, I'm afraid I forgot.
Then that's it. If I score all, I don't think we'll get started again.
I'm sorry, darling. Oh, what was that?
I don't know. I hit something. I can hardly tell whether we're on the road or not.
Don't you think we should... Are we stalled?
We are. Well, here goes. Well, that's it.
Oh, Charles. And it's all my fault.
Now, don't feel bad about it. I don't think we should have made it anyhow. If we were on a main highway, we might be all right. But these small byroads, miles from anywhere...
But what can we do?
Well, we can sit in the car and hope another car comes along. But the chances of that happening here are remote. We might be better off to walk to help. I'd hate not to make our appointment in Dwolding.
In this rain?
It's a cold night, Nora. If we keep walking, we can at least keep warm. We're almost certain to find a farmhouse or something. Are you game?
Well, I think I am.
Well, then bundle up and let's get on with it, old girl.
Right.
Well, come on. I'm afraid we won't make Dwolding tonight. This is beginning to look a little ominous.
Yes. We'd better try calling out, Charles.
All right. Hello? Hello there?
Why, I think I'm a little frightened, Charles.
Well, come on, let's both call out. Hello? Hello?
But, Charles, it looks as if we...
Quiet, Nora. Now, where that dog is, there must be shelter.
Yes, there's a light blinking over there.
That's for us. Come on.
Oh, thank goodness.
Are we glad to see you?
Why?
Why? Because we're lost, that's why.
How far are we from Dwolding?
About 20 miles.
Where do you live?
Just over the hill there. But it's no use. He won't let you in, not him.
Who are you talking about?
The master.
And who is the master? Now, wait a minute. You can't leave us. Here, wait.
Yes.
Now, listen, you. Whether you like it or not, we're coming with you. And whether the master likes it or not, he's going to give us shelter. You go on ahead. We're following you. Come along, Nora.
Oh, look, Charles. It's a huge forbidding house.
Here we are. What little good it'll do you.
Yeah, take this for your trouble.
Yes. Throw this light when I find the key.
All right. We'll be inside soon, Nora.
And don't say that I let you in. Now, go straight to that second door past the staircase.
Thanks.
Yes?
Well, here goes.
What is the meaning of this? Who let you in?
We lost our way on the moors.
My home is not an inn.
Yes, but surely
just
you...
Just a minute, Charles. If we were drowning and your boat happened by, we'd try to save ourselves by clinging to it. And look at us. We're practically drowning.
That's scarcely my concern.
And furthermore, my husband is a doctor. He was scheduled to lecture in...
Oh, a doctor, eh? Well, a scientific man, eh?
Well, yes.
You'll need dry things. There's food on the buffet here, and I'll get hot coffee. Do sit down. Make yourselves comfortable.
Do you mind if we hang our coats in front of the fire?
A capital idea.
Give me your coat, Charles. I'll spread it out.
Thanks, Nora.
I'm going to take my shoes off, too.
Yes, sir.
Oh, more coffee, Jacob.
Very good, sir.
What are you finding so interesting, Doctor?
These strange diagrams drawn on the walls and floor.
Oh, yes, yes. Those are the nuclei of my science.
White mice in the cage. And what's this contraption?
What does it look like to you?
It bears a rough resemblance to a huge camera. But the size, all this multicolored glass. I don't know. I'm quite baffled.
In there, my friend, is the element black.
Black?
Black. One of the greatest destructive forces in the universe. But how about you two eating something, eh? Just help yourselves. Coffee. It won't be long.
Oh, thank you, very nice.
It may interest you to know that yours are the first strange faces I've seen here in 4 years.
Really?
I spend most of my time hard at work. Very, very hard at work. The results of this work may well benefit humanity.
Oh, I'm glad to hear.
Don't misunderstand me. I don't give a rap about humanity. However, I'm more productive to your humanity than I should be if I were full of gush, as the sentimentalists, speechifying to get murderers out of prison. Do you follow me?
Well, yes.
You noticed my man, Jacob?
Of course.
He's a perfect servant. Makes me comfortable. I have no feeling for him. I treat him civilly, pay him, but I never concern myself with him as a human being. I know nothing of his character except what I read of it in his last employer's letter. There are, you see, no truly human relations between us. Would you imagine his work would be better done if I'd made him like me personally?
Oh, I would, decidedly.
I'm certain it would not be so. He'd trade on any relationship to my disadvantage.
But if a crisis occurred...
Crisis?
Yes, if you needed his help. Not only the servant, but... Well, supposing you were sick, in need. You'd never get from your relationship what can be prompted only by affection.
Affection? Ah, affection! How disgusting that sounds. Disgusting. The coffee. Just put it down.
Yes, sir. Will that be all, sir?
For now, yes.
Very good, sir.
Splendid inhuman efficiency.
I think I'd go mad in such an atmosphere.
Shh. Never mind, Nora.
Now, how do you take your coffee?
Black, please.
Me too.
Black, eh? Black. Very good. Who gazes on black stares at death.
I beg your pardon.
You scientists are quite naive, I find.
Well, I fail to see you.
Let me explain. I find that black is not, as it is commonly defined, an absence of color or light. It is a prime essence, a vital being. And light, on the contrary, is mere activity.
Well, this black coffee tastes good, and I'm glad we're not out in that black light.
There you go again.
I don't understand.
You think night comprehends black? Night is never so dark that you cannot distinguish grades of darkness. There is no black in the darkness of night. Black is absolute.
You mean to say that blackness...
Who said anything about blackness? I've been talking about black, not blackness. The one is a positive term, the other a weak, indefinite. Call blackness darkness, and the phraseology will be much nearer. But when you come to black, I say, you're at grips with the positive element of the universe, a force apparent whose work is death.
Then one ought to be afraid to go home after dark.
If you had the faintest realization of the infinite significance of the words you use, you turn as pale as this damask cloth. Here. You see this white mouse? I take it out of its cage, hold it by its tail, and set the black to work. I place it in front of the fatal black ray and...
Where did it go? It vanished.
Exactly, it vanished. And you, Doctor, what do you have to say?
I believe I saw something like that years ago at the Palace Theater in New York.
You stupid man of science! I'll show you. Jacob! Palace Theater in New York.
Yes, sir.
Jacob, bring in Damon immediately.
The dog, sir?
That's what I said. The old hound dog, Damon. That is the old one, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Then quickly, bring it here.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Doctor, you look at me with the eye of a diagnostician. You would condemn me as a hysterical... hysteric or a madman, wouldn't you, Doctor? How would you put it? Suffering from delusion. That would be your diagnosis, wouldn't it?
Why, I...
Exactly. And having placed a tag on me, you'd wash your hands of the whole business. Oh, I know you men of science. Ah, Jacob. Bring that hound over here.
Master, you're going nuts.
Leave us, Jacob!
Not Dave.
I said leave us!
If you guess...
Yes, I know, Damon. You dislike me, don't you? You all have a sixth sense of the animal. Now, as before, Doctor, we set the black to work. See? The sixth sense of the animal. Jacob! Jacob, keep those arms quiet!
We've got to get out of here, Charles.
No, as soon as we can.
Now we can proceed. You see? The larger the subject, the more power we need.
Subject?
Yes. Humans will require even more power.
Humans?
Why, yes. That will be my most noble achievement. Now, Damon, sit. Hold on, Nora. Now, Doctor. Did you see that at the Palace Theater? The sixth sense of the animal. Now I'm a little tired. I think I could use a drink. Yes, I'm really quite tired.
Yes, sir.
Bring me a brandy, will you? Yeah. For our guests, too.
Oh, very good, sir.
You don't understand, do you, Doctor? No, you don't understand at all. That's why I became disgusted with you men who call yourselves scientists. Yes, you condemn everything that resists experiments. You reject as false any theory which cannot be proved in the laboratory or the dissecting room. You refuse even to consider my findings in regard to apparitions.
Apparitions?
Ghosts, if you like. For thousands of years, mankind has persisted in believing that apparitions are fact. But mention them to you, scientists.
But there's never been conclusive proof.
If I were to tell you that for 23 years I've been investigating the supernatural, and that I know, past all doubt, that ghosts, apparitions, and supernatural beings exist, what would you think? Huh? That I have lost my mind?
Well, unless, of course, you could show me an apparition or some supernatural...
Show me! Show me! Proof! Proof! Proof!
The brandy, sir.
All right, put it down.
The storm is over, sir.
Has it now? Has it?
Yes, sir.
Nora. Did you hear that? The storm. It's over.
Yes, I heard.
I think we should get out of here as quickly as we can.
Oh, so do I.
Take a good swig of brandy. It'll help.
I did.
I don't know how you feel, but I'm ready for that 20-mile walk to Dwolding. Those two demonstrations have convinced me.
Darling, I'm ready.
Dwolding, did you say?
Yes.
Why walk?
I don't follow you.
Why not take the local?
The local?
Yes.
Do you mean local train?
Of course.
I didn't know there was one.
Just one a day. It carries mostly freight. Just one passenger coach. About a mile from here. 11:10. I'll show you the way.
Oh, this is splendid, Charles. You'll be able to give your lecture after all.
Scientific lecture?
Well, sort of, yes.
With proof, Doctor?
Of course.
You know, 17 years ago, I ran away from you scientific fellows and your proof. It seems funny that one should walk in on me tonight. Oh, you and your proof. You think I'm a little mad, don't you, Doctor?
Well, I shouldn't say that, sir.
I'll get our coat.
Here's where you catch it, down by the stone fence.
Thank you, sir. And you say Jacob can see about our car in the morning.
Steve, everything to Jacob. Good night.
Thank you for your trouble.
Thank you, sir, very much.
I'm glad to be out of the whole mad mess.
Oh, me too.
How do you feel?
Fine. The brandy helped.
Good.
Charles.
Come on. It's right on time. Well, things turned out a bit better, eh? Here we are. There, come up. That's it.
There.
Now we can relax.
Oh, I'm so happy to be out of there. Do you think he's a mental case?
Oh, I certainly do. Utterly and completely mad. All that business about Black. Absolute nonsense.
But, darling, what about that dog? And the mouse? They really disappeared, you know.
An old magic trick. You know, disappearing rabbit and all that. Just hocus pocus.
Charles, have you noticed that the lights are so dim?
Nora, what are you staring at?
Everybody seems to be asleep in this coach. Look at them.
Yes. Yeah, they do seem to. Nora, what is it?
Oh, Charles. They're not asleep. They're all dead. Charles. They're dead. Oh, Charles, in heaven's name, what's happening?
Wait, Nora. Easy now.
Oh, Charles.
This branch line.
What?
Remember? Years ago, an accident. The train jumped the bridge into the valley.
In one piece.
Think we can get them to the house?
I think so. Can you help the woman?
I think so.
All right. Up we go now. There. Now, can you walk?
Yes.
That's the way. Now, off we go. There. It feels better, doesn't it? Here, have another sip. You too, sir.
You all right, Nora?
Yes.
Where are we?
We are in the sunroom of the master's house.
Back here again?
Yes. You're both very lucky. Bruised and shook up a bit. Could have been lots worse.
Am I dreaming all this? And what about that train?
That's what you were ranting about when I brought you in. There was no train. There's no line there. Hasn't been one for years. There was a bad accident there years ago. Train jumped the bridge into the valley. Hasn't been used since.
But you and your wife were in that accident. I brought it back to demonstrate another power of Black. Doctor, listen carefully. I made it happen again. Remember what I said about my findings regarding apparitions? Well, what do you think now? And now, if you'll excuse me.
Now, what's going on?
Couldn't tell you, sir. I've long since given up trying to understand the master. Well, you're both looking much better. Let me pour you some more brandy.
We'll both feel much better when we can be on our way.
Here you are.
Thank you. Oh, I'm dreadfully tired, Charles.
What's he doing with that contraption now?
Don't know, sir. He said something about his most noble achievement.
What?
Charles, he means humans.
Listen, Jacob, We've got to get out of here, and quickly, you understand?
I cannot go against the master's orders.
Jacob, I want to stop with a dog. Bring me one of the older hounds. Jacob!
Yes, sir. A dog.
You heard what I said, Jacob. We've got to get out of here.
I think we'd all better get out. Follow me.
Come along, Nora.
Where are we going?
Any place, as long as it's away from here.
He wants a dog. Get him a dog. Follow me down this corridor. He shall have a dog, all right.
Charles, what's happening to us?
I don't know yet.
Now stand beside the door. When you open this cage, they won't harm you. They won't even speak. Now, down there. Down there.
His most noble achievement.
Shall we see about getting you both home now?
You've been listening to Black Death, written especially for Suspense by Mercer McLeod, and starring Christopher Carey, currently featured in Camelot.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 1st of July, 1962, on CBS. And that does it for this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.